Good morning. The lesson this morning is a topic that most people don't want to hear. It has fallen far out of favor with American culture, in fact, Western culture. The idea that there would even be anything like hell, as is portrayed in the scriptures, many people feel is contrary to a loving God. They cannot understand why anybody would embrace that doctrine, let alone want to promote it, even when the Bible talks about it. Of course, you have certain religious groups that say the entire concept of hell is pagan, isn't real. Of course, when we're talking about hell, we're talking about eternal damnation, which is defined as being totally, absolutely, perfectly without God. It is where God is not. Even as Jesus put it forward in Matthew 25, "Depart from me, you curse. Depart from me, you curse. Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe hell, as John put forward this morning Bible class. If you believe in heaven, you have to believe in hell, for the concept of both heaven and hell come from the same place, same source. Hell is a tragedy. It really is. But it's not so much a tragedy because it exists. It exists because God, in his sense of justice, has deemed it fitting for there to be a place for sinners totally separate from him for eternal destiny. Now, why is it fitting? Well, been through this before. Let me quickly recap. Everything is made for Christ, Colossians 1:16. So everything is related and relatable to Christ. He is the purpose. He is the point. He is the answer to every question we have concerning existence. It is Jesus. So it's not about us. It's about Christ.
Amen.
So then it becomes a matter of, for us, our loyalty, obedience, submission, and faithfulness to Christ. If we refuse that, then hell is the response to that refusal. In two ways. Number one, it answers the sinner's prayer. The sinner in his rebellion tells God, "I don't want you in my life. I don't want anything about you to be relevant to me." Hell answers that. Gives them a place. Even though our destiny is eternal destiny, hell allows the sinner to have what he wants. Love must allow that, because love is not about forcing people to do anything. Love is only a matter of persuasion. And if one will not be persuaded, then there's no other recourse, either for justice or for love, than hell. On the other hand, this is Jesus' vindication. If we're made for God, and therefore made for Christ, then obviously in Christ is our fullness of joy. And to be perfectly with God in heaven, "Come unto me," "Come you blessed of my Father," is actually the wording in Matthew 25. If heaven is where God perfectly is, then there is the fullness of our joy, the perfection of our joy. Well, what would be the antithesis of that? What's the other side of that? Well, to be perfectly without God is anything but joy. We are in an existence which can never know fulfillment. We are in an existence which can never know accomplishment. There can be no satisfaction in such an existence. That being the case, and since we are made to seek satisfaction, you have eternal frustration. That can lead then to eternal pain, anguish, where the weeping and the grinding of teeth doesn't end. So there's no logical reason to kick against hell. There just isn't. There's no logical reason to deny hell according to the nature of God. It all fits perfectly. And of course, that is the big part of our problem. We're desperate to get away from it, except the way God says to do it. So hell is a tragedy. It most certainly is. But what makes it a tragedy? Let's look at that. The great tragedy of hell begins with, you could have known God. God is not here. God is not to be identified by the five senses. He is spirit, not flesh. John 4:24. But God can't be known. His fingerprints are in every aspect of creation. Jesus comes in vengeance, 2 Thessalonians 1, to punish those who know not God and who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus in flaming fire with his mighty angels. If you're punished for not knowing God, then there obviously is a way you can know it. Verse 20 of Romans 1. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and divinity, Godhead. So that they, the world, are without excuse. Now what does that mean? It means creation shouts God. And there are things about God you can know simply by noticing creation. So you can know God. How about that?
Amen.
So that they are without excuse. You could have known the truth. There are lies out there. Again, this morning we talked about various religions. All kinds of religions out there. Myriads of religions. Which ones are right? Well, we just can't know. Yes, we can. You can know the truth. John 7:17. If any man wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the teaching, the doctrine, that is, Christ's doctrine, whether it is from God or whether it's not, whether I speak on my own authority. Now that's an assurance that if you want to do, you know, the God who made everything and you're coming to know Him by what's made, if you want to know what He wants from you, you'll know it. He promises it. If you want it, you'll know it. So yes, you could have known the truth. You could have obtained wisdom. Alright, yeah, I get it. It's the Bible, okay? The Bible is the Word of God. New Testament is the law of Christ. I get it. I don't know what to do with that. Okay? James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all freely, liberally, freely. And without reproach, he won't rebuke you for asking for wisdom. He won't claim it's your fault that you don't have it, so too bad. He's not going to treat you that way. You really desire wisdom, you'll get it. He'll see to it. And he'll happily do that. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, no doubting, deceiving yourself. You could have obtained wisdom. You could have beaten temptation. Yes, I get it. The Word of God is the truth. God lives. The Word of God is the truth. But you know, it talks about Satan, and Satan's so many. And he just burdened me beyond despair, and that lady was just so beautiful. And I just could not stay away from her. She was so sweet to me. She's the only one who really loved me. Or That money was just right there. How dare they leave the money just right there where I could get to it? That was just so wrong of them. Or, how can everybody else have a new iPhone and I'm not? I'm going to get me an iPhone one way or the other. You leave your iPhone around where I can get it, it's going to be mine. Okay, all kinds of excuses for failing to beat temptation. But you know that won't fly, right? Because you could have beaten temptation. Every time you could have beaten it. Otherwise, God's unfair to judge us for failing. You could have beaten it every time. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common. In other words, God's not picking on you and Satan can't pick on you. Cannot single you out for especially burdensome trouble. Won't happen. Every temptation you're facing has always been the way it's been. And people have always had to face it. Have always had to deal with it. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You can count on Him. You can trust Him. Take this to the bank. You know, when the bank is sound and solid. Not to worry about the currency. God makes it all sound. You can be sold on this. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. God didn't tempt anyone, James 1. So what's that saying? Saying He puts a leash on Satan. This is God's control of the devil. He won't allow the devil to tempt you beyond your ability, not only to survive it, but to beat it. That's God's promise to you. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape so that you can handle it, so that you can bear it. No wonder, though, Jesus said, "Lead us not," urged us to pray, "lead us not to temptation." Because Satan knows his business. He knows how to do it. That's no doubt about that. But God promises, "I've got your back. Even when Satan is tempting you, I've got your back. You just have to trust it. You just have to believe it. And you've got to look for that way of escape. Don't be looking for how you can give in to temptation and it'll be all right, because God really doesn't care. Don't go there. You're doomed if you go there. You can beat temptation every time, if you will. You could have beaten temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You could have overcome the world. You could have. 1 John 2. 2:14, last part of the verse. "I've written to you, young men," this is from the Holy Spirit, "I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you," abides in you, "lives in you, and you have overcome," past tense, "the devil," the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. So I'm writing you this letter, 1 John. 1 John 5:4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, through Christ," according to our, what does it say? According to our faith. Again, it goes back to, do you believe Him? Do you trust Him, your God? You know, whose fingerprints are on everything. Are you sold on His care for you through Christ? Okay, the great tragedy of hell. You could have known God. You could have known the truth. You could have obtained wisdom. You could have beaten temptation. And you could have overcome. So what's the great tragedy? The great tragedy of hell is you never had to go there. You did not have to go there. You never had to be sent there. God has done everything that He can do according to love to keep you out of it, including, and this we know, we talk about all the time, sending His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. God isn't willing, isn't desirous of anyone perishing, but that all come to repentance. Now that's what God wants. What do you want? The great tragedy of hell is you don't have to go. He has provided the way of escape. If you're not a Christian, the way of escape is to become a Christian. Obey that gospel. The good news of the death, burial, resurrection, and glorification of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Being sold on that gospel. Surrender to it. Obey it. If you believe it, of course you will. Won't you? Well, how do you do that? How do you obey the gospel? Well, if the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then obeying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus must be seen in some aspect of the new covenant, the law of Christ. And that's exactly what we have all through the book of Acts when baptism, water baptism, is commanded. Because going down into the water, the immersed coming immediately up out of the water, we share in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Many have put it this way. In the death of Christ was the shedding of His blood. Remember, He had died and the soldier took the spear and out of His side came forth blood and water. How do you share in the death of Christ? This is Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so you also should, having been raised with Him, walk in newness of life. That's through the rest of the chapter. Dying with Him and being raised with Him is what it's all about. That's the line of demarcation, your baptism, between the old life and the new. If you want to escape hell, you've got to get your sins forgiven first. You've got to get the guilt removed from you. This is how it's done. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't demand that you give $1 billion to somebody? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He didn't demand that you find a cure for cancer? Aren't you glad He didn't demand that you conquer Mount Everest 150 times? You know, He could have demanded anything. What He demands is, believe My Son. Obey My Son. Having become perfected, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews 5. So you've got to get into Christ. Once you're in Christ, you've got to be faithful. You stay with Him. You don't get to play games with God. You don't get to mock Him. Galatians 6. You're in it for the long haul. You're serious about it. Having repented of your sins, having confessed Jesus as Lord, having been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, in Jesus' name, name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you rise to walk in the newness of life, which means now everything is different. You're in a revolution. The revolution of the Son of God. The revolution of the Christ. A revolution that crucifies the world to you and you to the world. But you grow in this. This is a matter of growth. You don't come out of the water immediately in a mature Christian. You have to grow. The church is supposed to be there to help you grow. Loving each other with the love of Christ. Showing the world, church, showing the world, Christ. not just the crucified Christ, but the glorified Christ. The Christ who said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you to myself. So that where I am there, you may be also. So there it is. You know, for how you're supposed to be as a Christian, the easiest and most simple answer is 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, hell is a tragedy to God too. He hates it. It wasn't made for you. It was made for the devil and those who follow the devil. But if you choose the devil or the devil's ways, he's not going to stop you from that conclusion. He'll let you do it. But he hates it. What can we do to help you save yourself from this untoward, perverse generation? Come home, Stephen.
When we walk with the Lord.